Some fans watch. Real fans play. Everybody Wins Live Sportsbook turns every match, every shot, every score into your moment. The better you know the game, the better you play. Now with smarter features and a bigger experience, Everybody Wins Live Sportsbook, built for players who live the game.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh, let's peel away the layers and focus on you. Ooh, what's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Tell It to Stanya here on Guardian Radio. And you have a different thing happening today. You're with Heather McDonald, and I am your host today, your life coach for this show. And if you're here to and you're expecting a quiet, calm, soft-spoken, you know, zen experience today, I'm so sorry you're not going to get that. You're going to get something full of energy, and we're going to give you a dose of vitamin H. So today we're diving into a topic that is touching in everybody's situation, you know. It's something that you use that you want to save face, you know, something that you struggles with, something that you don't want to speak about all the time, you know. And today we're talking about second chances, knowing when to try again and when to walk away. You know, and I have two special guests in the place with me today. We have a good friend of mine, Denari Roll. Say hello to everyone.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. It's a pleasure to be here today.
And we also have Miss Brandy Maynard.
Hey, Bahamas. How you doing?
Yeah, so we're going to be having a great discussion. We're talking about relationships because, listen to me, some of us out here are giving people third, fourth, 15 chances. I know we serve a God of a second chance, you know. I used to love this song back in the 90s and say, "For you're the God of a second chance." And that's great. But let me tell you something. Praise God for the Lord Jesus and for second chances. You know, but we have to be real because we have to understand. We're going to talk about when it's time to use grace versus foolishness and how to tell the difference without carrying shame, guilt, and pride. So buckle up. You know, grab your tea, grab your coffee. I can tell you grab your wine. It's too early. It is only 1:06 p.m.
It's the weekend. People
it's the weekend.
Happy hour yesterday.
Oh, it's the weekend. They say, it's the weekend. Yeah. I got to party.
People started from happy hour yesterday.
All right.
But they got to take a break. They got to take a break.
Yeah. Going, they say in order to sober up, you got to drink some more.
You got
to
drink some more. So get your tea. Get your wine.
Ginger tea.
You know, get your coffee, whatever it is that you need to enjoy this weekend and join us in this conversation. I want to let you know our text lines is 422-4796. Again, our text line is 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. Also, our telephone lines are 323-6232 and 325-4316. So let's talk, guys. I have these two. One, I have a male on one side. And I got the woman them on the next side. The man them is here. And the woman them is here. So when we're talking about this conversation, you're not going to say, you know, Heather, you just, it's all women. Okay? No, we have a male perspective here. So let's start here and let's talk about the second chance. Because it's not the same thing as giving someone permission to keep hurting you. You know, I read somewhere, second chances is, I believe you can do better. You know? I see a genuine effort in the change, and I see accountability. I see change in your behavior, not the sweet talks, you know. A second chance is not, well, I don't want to start over, or Christmas coming and I don't want to be lonely, so let me go and call that love sponge up, you know, so I can have those pajama pictures. But it's all about creating having an honest conversation with them. You know, so I'm going to turn it over to our guests. Right now, we're going to have a conversation when we're talking about grace versus the foolishness. Okay, so Denari, let's take a deeper look at that. Where do you think in a relationships where you should find when it's okay to give grace instead of taking the same thing over and over again?
Really off, in my viewpoint, I think the key issue for any relationship generally is communication. That's one of the most pivotal criterias in a successful relationship. I think the more you communicate with your partner, the more you talk to them, you have those conversations, then the better the outcome of that relationship will be. And that's generally even outside of intimate relationships, even with family and friends, etc. We do a bad job at communicating, and we assume or we think we know, or we mm-hmm. create our own stories of what the other individual is thinking, and that leads us into a lot of problems. And so when you talk about being gracious, right, sometimes you could look and you could determine the character of the individual. Obviously, you decide to be with them, so you should know the ins and the outs. You should know about them, what their strengths, what their weaknesses are. And so I think based off what it is that they do, you should know, okay, I could extend grace because they are also displaying a sign of empathy. Sometimes people do stuff and they don't display any empathy. So it's clear mm-hmm. that they don't deserve grace. And you have a right as a partner to stand against it and say, okay, well, you're not remorseful. So as a result, I'm going to take this route. Not necessary that you leave, but you're not going to be so accepting or like so unapologetic or mm-hmm. accept this unapologetic attitude until they demand better. People only allow, or you could only be treated the way you allow someone to treat you. And so, grace is something that you could extend based off the person's action, based off their empathy towards the situation. And then foolishness is just outright foolishness. I mean, we are adults now. A lot of us, we accept certain things. We choose to be taking anything because for the lack of OI in love, what you love? what it is that you really love. If you know what it is that you want for yourself, you know what I mean? So it depends on where you are in life. If you want a certain thing, then you get in a certain thing and you're comfortable and you're happy with that, then good. But if you see somebody doing the same thing over and over and over again, they ain't trying to change because you letting them get away with it. And so the more you allow them to get away with it, and especially unchecked, like mm-hmm. you know it's bothering you, and again, you're not communicating the same, but you know it's killing you deep down inside, right. Sometimes, oftentimes, we blame the other person. But then that's where our self-accountability come in and be like, you know what? I was accepting this foolishness because I didn't say nothing. I didn't bring this up. I just allowed this to go on knowing deep down inside this was bothering me, knowing this was a problem for me. And so technically it is the other person's fault, but then the accountability factor in you has to kick in and say, you know mm-hmm. what? That was foolishness. I allowed it, and I'll be better next time around.
I still love what you said. My thing is, grace is, I see your intention, your effort, you know, your humility. That's what grace is. And a lot of times we have so many people that take advantage of your grace because, you know, we all serve God. We love the Lord with all our heart. We most of all of us grew up in the church, and the church always say you have to forgive. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you could forgive somebody, but that doesn't mean you should stay there and take that abuse. And that's where the foolishness kick in, because it's about, I see the red flags. Not even red flags. They see the fireworks. I hear the marching band. I can hear the jungle cowbells. Click, click, clicky, click. You need to leave. You need to leave. You know, and you're going through that door anyway, even though you see all of the rare signs. You see them, and it's right in your face. So I'm going to turn it over to Brandy. So, Brandy, tell me, what do you think is a good way to deal? How do you approach the foolishness, but at the same time using grace? Because that's the key, you know. You have to understand how to shut down and a toxic situation, but still add grace to it. So
I just want to start off. Now you hit the nail on the head. The nail on the head. But addressing the foolishness, you have to have a centered understanding of who you are, what it is that your standards are, and never settle for less. It's as simple as that. You cannot allow the love or the potential of what the love could be, or your idea of what you think you want, and it's presenting itself as something nice and shiny, but a lot of times Everything that glitters is not gold. Mm-hmm. So just being able to be real with yourself and have that self-accountability that, listen, this situation does not make sense. And the grace of it is just having the conversation. Have the conversation. Listen, this is not what I want for myself. This is not what I think. You're not giving me the best of what we could be. So gracefully, I would just like to decline and turn you down. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about, because that's the romantic side. I want to talk about work toxic behavior when it comes to knowing when to walk away, as well as families. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people need to understand that being in a family can be the most, some person situations, the most toxic experience they have start from the family. And there's something I like to call Bahamian forgiveness. And I can tell you what that is, because... You know, Bahamian forgiveness, different from different type of forgiveness, because we need to talk about it, because it's a dramatic form of forgiveness. One minute we say, I am done with you forever. And the next minute we expect you to still come to the family event. We expect you to still go to Solomon's and do this and do that for me and push my trolley. And they feel like I want you to forgive me, but I still want you to continue to be my puppet or to be my punching bag or to be my... continue to stay in that victim position, but they don't want to take accountability to make a change. Mm-hmm. And that is when you need to know, you know what? This is very, very unhealthy for me. Mm-hmm. And this is a situation. And Brandy gave the very, very sweet technical way of saying it, but I could come to y'all in a Bahamian way, especially when you are on a job and you are being abused mentally on the job. You know, we've seen suicide rate rise in our country. Mental health is a serious thing. You know, and I always speak to this when I'm coaching person, it's okay to get some therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're going through something mentally, it doesn't mean that you possess with demons. No, every man has a struggle. Even the Bible says, seek the elders for wise counseling. And this is what we need to do. Because when you're on your job, I always like to tell people this, if you're in a toxic situation on a job, leave. Start looking for someplace else to work and leave, because guess what? When these people want to fire you and they want to let you go, not just do it, they already hire your replacement. Mm-hmm. And they have you training your replacement. And they letting you go and they ain't giving you no advance notice and say, hey, I'm just letting you know that come this day, we're going to fire you. So you may want to save your money up, you know, mm-hmm. save your money up for this firing. No, they're going to fire you and they're going to give you whatever the law says you're supposed to get for severance. But being in a toxic family is one of the hardest things to deal with, especially when you're living in that environment. So I'm going to turn it over to Denari for a second. So let's talk about the signs of giving too many chances, because that's where it happens most in the family. You know, how do you keep, because it's almost like you keep lowering your standards to keep this person in your life, because this could be a mommy, this could be a daddy, this could be a sister, brother, or uncle. So, Denari, I'll give you an opportunity to talk about right now. Keep lowering in your standards. How much times you got to forgive them? How much chances?
I ain't God. Me personally, I'm not God, and I don't encourage people to try to be him. He is all forgiving, all knowing. He died to save sinners like you and me. All of us are sinners. So I know all of us have our shortcomings. If you like you say, all of us are church going, if you follow the word, he don't say accept abuse too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you gotta know when enough is enough. And I think it ultimately boils down to the individual themselves. Everybody, each particular person have different breaking points. Certain things that might break Mike back, might break Brandy back, might break your back, and so mm-hmm. on and so forth. So, I mean, I think it has to come a point in time where that individual it goes right back to accountability. A lot of us, we don't like to take accountability for some of the things that we do. We enjoy the moments, or we look at the bright side for the most part, knowing deep down inside it's toxic, it's unhealthy. And one of the things I know you mentioned where you said that family ties and stuff getting involved in relationships, but that's where it goes right back to that same communication error. Mm-hmm. Women and men have to learn how to communicate. Yes. And I think if we talk just a little bit more, you could be able to reach more of a medium, because sometimes some of the things you may be looking for, or some of the things you might want, right? It might be right in front of you. Mm-hmm. If you might be thinking, oh, this person wants long-term and this forever love or this come meet my mommy or daddy tomorrow. In reality, they might be saying, I ain't even really into all of that. I just come over on relationship. I really hurt. I ain't really into love like that right now. I want to rebuild and get to know myself a little bit more. I want to focus on my business plan. I want to focus on school. I want to focus on just building me. But at the same time, I need some companionship. But you could have those conversations. And if we just learn to converse now, we would really realize, okay, this is this and that is that. Even when it comes to leaving now, listen, man, I hurting. This relationship, it's not making sense for me. Mm-hmm. I can't sleep. I don't know if you could see the stress on my face. This is really bothering me. I don't know. What are we doing? Where are we going?
You call them lamp holes, yeah?
Yeah. I'm going out of my mind. Like, where are we going? When last have we done something together? Mm-hmm. We have to have those tough conversations, and you got to be intentional with it. Listen, when last we do something spontaneous? We don't even go no more. When last did you just rub my back and say, I appreciate you? This relationship to me is not making sense. While it started off in this vein, mm-hmm. here's why then. Let me show you why. And you talked to, let me show you why I think there's been a decline. For the past 2 months, I could count the times of you have done this, 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 and that. But mm-hmm. when we initially started, this is how it was. Things right. are now changing. Are we going to build upon this? Are you tired of me? Are you seeing somebody else? Did you have enough of me? We could amicably, you know what, let's just sabotage. Rather than me holding bad blood against you, rather than me just building up all this animosity towards you, let's have the conversation.
I ain't gonna do that. Some of them won't break up your car, Denari.
No, but see, that again, and that they only want to break up your car because they're holding on to things that they mm-hmm. didn't talk about. Let's just talk about it. I over you? Are you over me? Do you want to move on? Are you interested in other people? Tell me, Denari, you are talking sense.
And mm-hmm. what people love is that toxic connection. Because they feel yes. as though it's something that excites them. I don't understand where we got lost in that that new trend of being toxic towards our loved ones, and that's mm-hmm. platonic and both in mm-hmm. you know, relationships. It's just it's not necessary.
And they're glad Brandy brought up that word, because I actually going to say when you was giving the story, that's toxicity.
Right.
That right there, what you was describing, that's just toxicity. And I don't think while some people might embrace it and call it cool or call it love, that is simply what it is. It's toxic. Mm-hmm. That's not healthy. Mm-hmm. And we put ourselves in these toxic environments and call it normal when it necessarily doesn't have to be. Communicate with your partner. If something is bothering you, just say something.
Mm-hmm.
Say something. Based off that person response and how they take it, you know if they for you or against you. It shouldn't have to reach the point where I could bust the windows with your car, I could flat a tire when you just communicate effectively. And so communication is key to some of these issues that we really face.
Okay, we have a texter just text a message. Say, please note that many persons go in a relationship to take and not to give. Mm-hmm. Also, many persons came from houses with broken mothers and fathers. Many broken persons are in churches. Oh, that one right there.
Mm-hmm.
Where they do not address personal or family issues. Many churches only want the money from persons I have to continue. This one is a long one, and I don't read all of this because this caller is in the spirit on the Sabbath. I'm going to start again. He said, many churches only want the money from the persons who can contribute but not address their toxic trauma. And that's the truth, because there are some churches that cover up a lot of things. Because, see, the church is like, I remember my pastor, the church that I grew up with in Grand Bahama, St. John's Jubilee Cathedral. Shout out to everybody down on Jubilee Road. He always said this, the church is a hospital. You have many people coming in with all kind of different ailments. And I'm talking about spiritual ailments. Mm-hmm. And they come in to seek help. And what happens is, when some of these toxic things happen to church, where you may have a person that's molested by a church member. Mm-hmm. I know that's a little oopsie conversation on Guardian Radio. Mm-hmm. You know, a person might be hurt from the pastors themselves. You understand? What the church do, they like to cover it up. Some churches, they scave it over. And they also expect you to stay there and lift up your holy hands and praise the Lord with them. But how can I worship under the person who hurt me? You know, and I want to read another text messenger, because there's another one who come in through with another thing with regards to this. They say, good day, Ms. McDonald. I love your panelist segment. What should happen when you are involved with someone who just would not communicate, especially from day one in the relationship, and they continue to shut down regardless of your attempt to try and make things better. Thank you so much, Texter. I'll tell you this. You have to start off from the outset, from the very, very first date. From the first call, when y'all link up online, they say, hey, what your number is? We change number and we start. What's happened? Start the trend of healthy communication from there. And you got to let these people know what your boundaries is and what you're willing to put up with and what you cannot. Now, I like a lot of attention. I's my daddy last chat. Okay? My mommy and daddy love me and kiss me up. And they, my dad, today, I will tell you, Saturday, my daddy didn't call me Tree Dance. I talked to my daddy Tree Dance today. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday to Leslie McDonald. That is my daddy. He's celebrating 73 years of life today.
Happy birthday, Pops.
I talked to my daddy three times already today. And it's only 1:24. So right there, we build that communication between parent and child. But not everybody has that. But you know what you want in a relationship. You know what your love language is. You got to communicate with that and say, listen, I'm a person. We don't have to argue. But we have to talk about what's happening. Because guess what? I'm not a mind reader. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. And I don't want to misunderstand you. Because a lot of breakups, I've seen a lot of relationships that could have been, they could have gone the long haul. They could have get married. They could have had the picket fence with the children. But you know what caused that relationship? Poor communication. Because when you don't communicate properly, you leave things up for assumptions. And you know what they say when you start assuming? You know, we ain't gonna say it on, we ain't gonna say it on Guardian Ready. We ain't gonna say that. But you have to let them know from day one. And let's say you're ready in it. You then deep. This the finals. You're ready going through the season, the playoffs. So too late. So what you need to do is you have to say, okay, before we go to the Super Bowl, let's have this conversation. And let's sit down and say, listen, we about to go into the Super Bowl. We have a chance to go into the Super Bowl. We could get that ring. Yes. But this is stopping us from getting to the point where we could get that ring because there's a lack of communication. I love you. Yeah. I care about you. And see, that's the thing. A lot of people in relationships, they're afraid to show their heart and they're afraid to get vulnerable. Text her, get vulnerable with that person. If you care about this person and you want to save your relationship, and don't do it over the phone. Sit face down, face to face. Now, don't go to your house because I always tell the people, don't have that at home. Because when you light the candles and you turn off the lights, y'all need to talk. So what I need you to do, I'm giving them good advice.
Public place.
What I need you to do is go to coffee, go to Starbucks, go to the Bluff, one of them coffee spots, sit down and have that conversation. Or go outside under the tree and have that conversation and say, listen, I honestly love you and I think we could go the long way. I see a ring in our future. I could see myself having children with you. However, this is an issue, and I don't know why that's an issue with you, but I am willing to work on that with you because I love you and I care about you. You got to be willing to get vulnerable. If you want communication, you have to be open to being vulnerable enough with that person to make it happen. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like the last texter, she sounded like she was, or he, if it was he or she, they sound like they were the one actually communicating with the individual who they were communicating with was shutting them out or not wanting to talk. And I think, the main point is it's effective communication. And a lot of people, especially in relationships, lack emotional intelligence. Right. And so I have a meme I always save in my phone when I used to talk about relationships, and I always used to say a lack of communication can really ruin a lot of good things. And so once you have that emotional intelligence, right, and you realize that you're the person that wants to push or trying to communicate, right, and you're not getting through to that person, the way that I would say or suggest how to deal with that is that, like you say, it's how we do it, how we approach it, because everybody has flaws and issues, right? And if it's someone you want to be and you want to be, you really would want to help them grow, because that's what relationships are about, growing together and bringing out the strengths and the weaknesses and making it strengths and making the strengths even stronger between you and that person. What I would suggest to them is that, the conversation has to go deeper than surface. Hey, babes, why you don't like to communicate? Is it something that is really bothering you? Did you experience something that you don't wish to talk about?
Right.
But that's why you have a problem communicating. And you ask questions. What is your family background like? Did you come up in a two-parent household?
That's important.
Was it a single mommy? Was it a single daddy? Because like you say, the family environment is important to how that person was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And so the questions, like you said, from day one, we need to ask those tough questions from day one so you know what you're getting into. And based off asking the initial questions like your family background, you know, what's your likes and dislikes, what would trigger you more or less than anything, or what would make you mad, or what would make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
You ask those questions from the onset. That way you'll be able to know, you know what, with all due respect, if at the end of that conversation or we have another conversation, respectfully.
Agreed.
I don't see this happening between me and you. It's no bad feelings, no bad blood, but I don't think we're a good match.
You know?
Or we're not a good fit. You know, and we oftentimes we condemn or judge people. Oh, you this, you that, or whatever. And again, the way we portray our message and send our message to the other person would actually create a friendship versus sabotaging them.
And the thing, that's where vulnerability comes in, because you could communicate all you want to communicate, but here's the thing. You may not be communicating efficiently, and it ain't gonna come that way until you become broke. You gotta get vulnerable. You gotta show these people your heart. Go ahead, Brandy.
So can I be the devil's advocate?
Go ahead.
Because we're speaking so much, you know, so uplifting, and I love that. But what happens when you have this conversation with them and it just leaves you around that same loop?
The cycle.
In terms, the cycle starts over again. And because you love this person so much, you're just like, oh, I'm just going to give them another chance. No. Stop it now. That's where you get into the foolishness.
And that's going to lead us into the next thing that we want to talk about. You know, we're going to talk about, you know, your peace goes down the drain every time they come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, living in that cycle disrupts your peace. Every time. But I want to open a line to callers, and we're going to talk more about that in a second. Our call line is 323-6232 and 325-4316. I have a texter here, and they said, host Miss McDonald, hello, and others are excellent contributors to today's conversation. From they say this is from the mayor of Grand Bahama, Mr. Rudolph Stubbs, Freeport, Selah. Hi, Mr. Stubbs. Thank you so much for contributing. I have another texter says right here. They said, also, many persons go into relationships and holding to relationships from the past. Many of them have one foot in the marriage and one foot out. Sometimes they got 3 foot. They got 1 foot in the marriage, 1 foot in the sweetheart place, and 1 foot where they won't be single by themselves. Many of that's me to text and say that. Many of them do not know God. They say they do, but their actions does not show that.
Mm-hmm.
These issues are preserved all over our country, in our homes, in our churches. Hold on, I had to open up the thing just now. And in society at large, we all need God deeply in our lives. I so agree with the texter, because here's the thing. You got to know when it's time to break the cycle. And I want to stop and talk about the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
When is enough enough?
Walk away.
You have to know when you had enough. And you cannot wait to the point. Everybody say you got to wait until you reach the bottom of the pit.
You don't.
No, you don't.
You don't have to
wait that long, because every time that person leaves and come back in your life, a little piece of your soul they take with you. They come back, they take another piece. They come back and they take another piece. And what happens is at the end of the day, you're so broken. You could either be emotionally broken where you say, you know what, I just give up.
Mm-hmm.
Or you will end up having a stony heart, where you can't allow anybody in, you don't trust anybody,
mm-hmm.
you can't have not even friends. Like you can't have any type of relationship with anyone. They apologize to escape their consequences and not change their behavior. That right there is when you know enough is enough. When you see that they just apologizing to escape their consequences, thank you for your apology. I appreciate it. And I take note and reference of your apology. But guess what? I forgive you with the grace of the Lord. Now go your way and sin no more. Jesus used to heal you.
And leave me alone.
Exactly.
Anytime after two times for me, somebody do something that you already forgive them for, and they do it more than two times, that ain't no more mistake. That's
it's
a decision.
It's intentional.
That's a decision that they are making, and you as an individual, you have to make that decision to
and people
get
will,
away from it and walk away.
People will intentionally disrespect you just to see how far they can take it.
Exactly. And so you have to put your foot down again as an individual. After two times, if someone says sorry for something and they mean it, they do their best not to try it again. Mm-hmm. But if you see them go ahead and they do that again and then again, you know more sorry. Walk away. Leave it alone. Because at that point, not to cut you off, but I like to tell people, self-accountability to me in relationships is most important. If I do something to you three times and you allow that, and you keep it and hear me say sorry, at that point, you can't blame me.
Right.
And that's why I tell a lot of women, you can't blame man. He cheat with Susie. Then you let him cheat with Jesse. Now you let her cheat with Elizabeth. And then you want to turn around and say, man, it's dogs. You know he was a dog long time. Why you stay with that dog? Why you accept that?
Walk away.
Leave that dog alone.
I agree. And here's the thing, right? Some people, especially my wonderful Bahamian people, I love them. They say, I sorry. And they use this sorry as a cop out. You know, they use it. It's like water. Everywhere. Water is everywhere, but not water is everywhere. But where is the actual needed intent for you to make a change? Mm-hmm. And that is what's important. You know, Justin Bieber, one of my favorite Justin Bieber songs is it too late now to say sorry? Yes, it is too late. It is too late.
Funny enough, they'll wait and tell you, glow up. Or you want one move, or they see you on one good, wicked, and then they want spin the block.
They want to time it
when you're really doing good and they see you leveling up. No, stay away from me.
You know, producer, find that song first. Yeah. But we're going to take our first break, and we're going to come back. So call us again. Our call line is 323-6232 and 325-4316. Join the conversation. We're going on a break. And when we come back, we're coming back in with Justin Bieber. Too late to say sorry.
Jesus.
Try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
Hard work and opportunity are the keys to success. I started as a packing boy, a busboy, and a space cleaner. Now, I'm a businessman and a lawyer. As chairman of BAIC, I focus on creating new opportunities for Bahamian entrepreneurs and farmers. I'm Darren Pickstock, candidate for the PLP in Golden Isles. It would be an honor to work hard for Golden Isles and help with concerns, big and small. Let's work together to create new pathways to security and success for more Bahamians.
This has been a paid announcement by the Progressive Liberal Party.
To my neighbors in Golden Isles, even the PLP candidate had to admit it. You've been ignored and neglected for years. 4 years in power, and now weeks before an election, they show up paving roads. But I never left you. I live here, I work here, and I serve you every single day. Let them know Golden Isles is not for sale. On November 24th, vote the name you know and trust. Brian Brown, and the Free National Movement. I never forgot.
Paid for by the Free National Movement.
Janae's Chesapeake Road Christmas Wonderland is open. Get up to 40%, yes, 40% off decorations this season. Christmas trees in a variety of sizes and colors, and decorated by choosing from the largest variety of Christmas decorations in town. Musical LEDs and laser lights, ornaments, lighted angels and Santas, garlands, wreaths, tree skirts, stockings, and lots and lots more. Oh, the array of flowers and picks choices. Don't forget the toys. They're 40% off. Up to 40% off things Christmas at Janae's. Restrictions apply. Check out some selections online at www.janae's.com.
Is it too late now to say sorry? Yeah, I know that I let you down. Is it too late to say sorry now?
Yes, it is. Very much so. Yeah. Well, I don't think they sorry. Or even if they say sorry.
I respect what you
do. Accept it and move
on. We're back. And we're on the air. We're talking about second chances, knowing when to forgive and knowing when to walk away. This is Heather McDonald, your substitute host on Tell It to Stania. Today we also have Denari Roll and Brandy Maynard. You know, we're life coaching it out today, you know. Mm-hmm. We have, I forgot to y'all, you know, Denari is an expert in mental health. You know, I'm a certified life coach, and Brandy is always, she's a mentor for young persons in the community. And when we left, we were talking about how many sorries, you know, Bahamian people like to say sorry, but I want y'all to, we're going to lead into this. But first, sorry, again, our text line is 422-4796, and you could call in at 323-6232. So another thing when it comes to dealing with forgiveness and walking away, you have to understand that some people love is wicked. I like to sing, y'all, so y'all can hear my good voice. There's one of my favorite dance halls. The woman say, everywhere you go, say your love is wicked. Cry me a river, say your love is wicked. Some of these people love wicked. And you have to understand, love should not be draining. To love someone shouldn't hurt. It shouldn't be like you have to make this hard effort to love them. And every time you love them so much, you sick. Tired, you can't, people that say, love, I can't think, I can't sleep, baby, I can't breathe, baby, without you in my life, all of that. Listen, that ain't love, that's obsession. When you love somebody, your heart is warm and your heart feels full. You feel an excitement and energy. And the thing is, you have to compare, I like to compare it to people, you have to think about the way that God loves you, unconditional love. That love so easy. That love is just roll off of your tongue. But when love brings you stress, that is not of God. That love does not come from God. God does not say that you have to prove your love to anybody. Because that God just love you, but just because you are his child. You understand? Jesus died. Yes, we're going to church today, church tomorrow. Jesus died on the cross for you. Because he loves you and he gave the greatest love. So you're in your relationship, whether it's family, romantic relationship, or with everything, it should not be hard. Love should not be this hard. And if you feel like you have to work so hard to love somebody, that's another time when you know it's time to walk away. You know, because the texter say, when should you walk away? Yeah, that's when you need to know. If it's getting, it's too hard for you to love you. Every time you wake up, every time this person number come on your WhatsApp and you see they messaging you or calling you, you have to woosah three times and pray and say, oh God, should I answer this or not? But this is the person that you say you love it. It should not be that difficult. I'm going to turn it over to Brandy. Brandy, let's talk about how hard love should be, how easy should be. What do you think about that?
I think love is as easy as breathing. When it comes to being involved with someone romantically or platonically, as simple as you pass something, you pass some flowers, and I'm like, oh, you know, Heather likes these. I'll take a little picture and send it to her. When there's an issue or something comes up, I know I have someone to call on or someone to share my heart with. I know that that information or that situation stays between us. Even when you move into romantic love, like, love is not a battle. Someone say, oh, I think Jordan Sparks has a song, but love is a battlefield.
And then she said, go ahead and get your armor. That is toxic. That is toxic.
Now, in that aspect, in terms of fighting for your love, because mm-hmm. I think what it really is you adjusting to making space for someone else. Mm-hmm. It's when it becomes hard for you to, like, because, you know, in love, you compromise. In relationships, you compromise.
Right.
But if every time it's always one-sided, or you're not even able to have that clear communication, like Nari loves to say, to understand what is okay for me to compromise with, and then knowing, again, keeping your standards, certain things that you will not compromise on, mm-hmm. but communicating those things in advance. And if someone ever asks you to compromise on something that you have made a stance on, then you gotta revisit that situation.
I agree. And the texter, we just had to text him, and the texter say, being in a toxic relationship is toxic. Mm-hmm. You understand? A lot of people, they brag about and boast, I'm in a toxic relationship, you know, and you're still there.
That's garbage.
Like, why are you still there? Because you're thinking that I am. Here's the thing, and I have to say this before Nari come on. And this coming from the bottom of my heart, y'all. I need y'all to hear me from y'all heart.
Okay.
A lot of times, especially my wonderful, the women them, we have this issue that we feel like we could save somebody.
Oh,
yeah. If I just love him enough. He's come from a broken family. His all the other girlfriends treated him badly. You know, he was abused. Maybe if I just love him and show him what love is, that he will change, because my love could heal him. You understand? Because they watch too much Disney Jesus movies.
Come on.
They watch too much music videos.
Lifetime.
No. Lifetime is scary. They watch too much Hallmark.
That's where the toxic comes from. Yeah. Lifetime.
They watch too much Hallmark movies, and they say, you know what? I could change them because my love could heal them. The only love in this world that could heal people is the love of God.
Amen.
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 That's
Amen.
Donald.
Amen. Amen.
That's
the
it.
Love of Jesus. And seeing that we're on the topic on the love of God, right? What I was going to touch on, I could use some biblical references to bring home your point, right? When you talk about knowing when to walk away, right? There's a story in the Bible where they say, you get slapped for one cheek, Jesus say, turn the other one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means go take another one. After your second cheek, then get slapped off. To me, in my view, Jesus only saying he giving you two chances. One on your right, pop. Go turn it on your left, pop. So after you then take the two, you then turn the other cheek. After that, I think that's clearance to say, now, you take the first one off God's face. Mm-hmm. I take the next one off my face. Nah, I got to go. Turn around. That's a check. So two strikes. You ain't three strikes. Yeah, two strikes.
Two
you're
strikes.
Gone. I think Jesus said two strikes, because you then turn the other cheek and you listen to his
No,
word,
Jesus
right?
say you're supposed to forgive them 70 times.
70 times 7.
Forgiving 70 times 7 don't mean staying inside of that relationship,
it does not.
Though.
It does not.
You could give somebody or forgive somebody and leave the relationship just for clarity.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm talking about when to walk away. So I think after the two, then you bloop, and then you go. And then on the other side, when you was asking about what love is,
mm-hmm.
on the singing song, since we singing songs,
yeah, we
one
singing
of my favorite gospel songs,
singing.
It says, love is patient.
All right.
Love is kind.
All right.
Love is humble.
All right. We have a caller on the line. We have a caller on the line. We'll let them through.
Take the caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I couldn't resist listening. You know, I'm a Guardian Radio. I always say I attend the University of Guardian Radio. So mm-hmm. it's a university, and I'm a part of being glad to be enrolled. I want to take you back to somewhere that I'm familiar with. I don't know if you can recall, there was a time when you could take a little magnet with a coil, put it on the telephone line, and with the right technology, listen to the telephone conversations. Are you young enough to remember that?
No, sir.
Yeah, I can remember.
I can
remember. I had an exchange now, still the BDC. Oops.
Listen, you now. No, I just want to say I'm privileged to still be involved in the things that Chinese do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Chinese government do, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I overheard some conversations between some kids the other day that I thought I would share with you.
Okay.
Two boys were walking home from school around 7 in the evening. This is a private school. And they were actually discussing how they're going to prevent themselves from being raped.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Think about this now. 15, 14-year-olds walking the street, wondering, but, you know, my major concern, I was getting raped. And then I can hear some females, one female in particular, she's elated that this guy decided to kiss and wash her feet. These boys are playing some really, the games I used to play when I was growing up, they playing some different games now, and the girls are falling for it. You could imagine if I were to wash and kiss as, I mean, a 14-year-old. They seem to be excited about that, not realizing that the guy is only using a method of entrapment. I should have recorded. No, I probably should not have.
That would have been illegal, man. Don't get catch.
Man, what you mean? But listen, I can talk to you privately.
Good caller.
Thank you, caller, for calling. Yeah. You know, that's something that we have to come on a different day to talk about, because it's a reality a lot of persons are having right now, especially in the schools and with our younger kids. Children. And we have to talk. I got to tell Stanley, she have to have a conversation about that and bring us back so we could talk on that, because the three of us, we do a lot of mentorship with our young people. And I have a texter here. I want to read their message. They say, Heather, I need to know why women in most cases don't like to give gifts, even when a man love language is gifts. Now, I got to answer that. We go around the circle. Now, personally, me text her, and this Miss Monogamy, I'll tell you this. I give gifts. I love to give gifts. You know, I'm a daddy's girl. Every time my daddy would go, even if he go to the food store, and Brandy could tell you this, he would come back with stuff for us. Like, even if it's a cookie or if it's a chocolate snack, bomb. Something. Mm-hmm. And that's his thing. That's his love language. His way of showing love language is to give gifts and to provide. And that's something I kind of picked up. My love language is support. You know, people who come and show up and have my back and support. But that's something I always learned. So in my relationship, if I'm shopping in Jumble and I buy a perfume for me, I'm in a relationship, I picking up a cologne for my man. Brandy would speak with me sometimes when I do it. If I buy a watch for me, I buy a watch for him. Because see, that is a learned trait. And this is, I'm going to answer your questions. This is one of the reasons why, and each one of us could give you one of the reasons why. One is they practice what they learn. If you don't learn that from your parents, your first teaching about how you should be in a romantic relationship comes from how your parents treated you. Because you're watching your mommy and your daddy, or if you come from a single parent's household, you're watching if your mommy, whoever your mom or your dad dated, you're literally witnessing them in their relationships, and it's conditioning you on how you should be when you got in a relationship. And so my dad, my mom, all my life, I watched them holding hands, kissing, walking down the road, and different stuff like that. That's my parents. They were very affectionate. So what happened, and they were affectionate with us. In relationships, I bust a movie. I tell you, say, listen, you can't go with me if you don't like affection, because I's PDA all the time. We holding hands walking down this road. And I tell you, say, listen, if you's a player, you can't date me, because you can get catch. If you have somebody you in a relationship with, don't date me, because you can get catch, because I can post you. I can hold hands with you in public. When we together, you're going to know.
We together.
I'm not going to hide that. I mean, you know, you're my little secret, and that's how we should keep it. That ain't happening up in here. You know, you can know. But to be honest, one of the signs is it's what you saw growing up. Teaches you that's your first introduction of how you should be in a relationship and how you should treat your mate, your incoming mate. Yep. You know, and the second thing is the first relationship you had. The first boyfriend and girlfriend relationship also trained you and conditions you how you could be in the rest of your relationships. Turn it over to Denari. So answer the question. So, they say, why women don't give gift?
So, I mean, I don't, Miss Monogamy, you said her name was. I don't know. Who fellas is David? Them type of vibe, but that ain't really my flex. Because I think when you provide that safe space and that comfort for a woman, I don't think there's anything she isn't willing to do. Going back to the Bible, it tells you, man, is provide, protect, and profess. So once you're doing your job as a man, I think it would be in our innate nature to nurture, support, make the house a home, to replenish, to flourish. So whatever you give her, she multiplies. So
preach.
If that woman ain't given a gift, she need to do some soul searching. She need to go. She need to look at herself in the mirror. I gotta say, children are a product of their environments. It probably could be trauma, something affecting her. Yes. She needs to be learn how to love correctly, but it's necessarily not the right thing to do. And then I know some of them might be on the flip side and say, "Well, the man don't deserve it." Well, if the man doesn't deserve
why are you there?
If the
choosing violence now.
If the man doesn't deserve the gifting, or it's more that he should be doing, then again. And it reflects on you, then what you in that relationship.
Let it cook, Mary. Let it cook.
With me, and then you accepting mediocrity. You accepting something that don't make sense. That means that man ain't doing his job. That means he ain't doing as he should. So you shouldn't be in that relationship. So it still goes right back to accountability. So I don't subscribe to the philosophy of women not treating men when they doing their job. If they doing their job, take care of that man. And if he's providing for you, you can provide for him. Not that he is asking, but men do like good gestures. I just close my mouth when they say women don't, because I just get nice things. I just get really nice things from women. Mm-hmm. And then one more thing I wanted to say, because I had to touch the family thing, right? I always tell people, especially young people, that like the times we're in now, like at the college, saying they was having that discussion. I always, when I was to the boys' club, like I had to say, we do a lot of mentoring. Just when I say, I told them, I said, but y'all times are really, really different now. Mm-hmm. Like y'all have it, we had it bad, but y'all got it worse because y'all are way more exposed to a lot of things than us. But I think a lot of people go wrong in relationships when they, I tell the young people as I close with this, that you can't go in a relationship expecting a woman to be your mom, and women can't expect that fella to preach be it. Their dad.
Glory.
Amen. Amen.
Brandy.
So to, to bring up the conversation, I think that some women are afraid to invest in their partner.
Say it again.
They are afraid to invest in their partner.
Hold on. Stop the record and play that again.
Women are afraid to invest in their partners. If I see that you take an interest in this particular thing, then I'm going to pour into you. Why? Because you pour into me. And you cannot be afraid to take that. Listen, if the man like to take pictures, get him some man these things on Amazon for what?
Right.
$20.
Less than that sometimes.
Less than that. Or even splurge on him. Because every time y'all go out, who picking up the bill? Mm-hmm. Every time you come in the car, who have the little Pandora or something? Sorry, or the Cartier, or
come on now,
or the Chanel. Come on. These are the things that you want and you request of him, or you even let it be known in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So what it taking off for you to give that man a cigar?
Nothing.
I can guarantee you, not to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Just on Brandy's part, I can guarantee you, the more you do those little trinkets and treats for that man, trust me, me baby, he gonna make you smile.
I'm
like
telling
me, I can triple the quadruple
listen
your
me.
Trouble
listen to me
for your double.
You want
you
quadruple
want
quadruple your trouble for your double.
You want a man trip out over you?
Trip out.
All right.
Do our little thing.
All right.
And I want to let y'all know, this is a Christmas plug. This is a Christmas plug. Let me tell y'all something. Call this at the sound of my voice. Please heed. Christmas is coming. Mama, bake that Johnny cake.
Christmas is coming.
For God's sake, do not buy your little thing, your spouse, no cologne. These men have enough cologne.
Cologne is a regular treat.
You understand? They have enough cologne. Cologne should be one of the gifts.
Yeah,
If you're going to buy them, purchase them the cologne. Let that be one gift and then the other gift. Mm-hmm. But don't, if I was a man and it's Christmas and I sitting under the Christmas tree and my matching pajamas, what I buy us, and I wait night and give you the bag, I give you the Michael Kors bag, I give you the Cartier watch, I give you the Pandora, you know these guys like Pandora, I give you the Pandora stuff, and it's my time. Come, give me my gift. And you rest it in my lap and I open it and it's
the
cologne
same,
set.
Hold on. The same cologne that I've been wearing all year. Not even something new.
That's why I say cologne is a just because gift.
Or a wallet.
Listen.
I don't have five new
cologne
wallets.
Is something you give a friend who was a good friend all year. Mm-hmm. You go give that friend a cologne. But for God's sake, that's your man. Mm-hmm. That's your love sponge. I don't want to let you go. With you, I'm in no hurry. Oh, no. We can't do that behind like that.
And that little thing ain't a gift either.
I want to read some of these text messages because they're coming in. Okay, from our texter says, love, the love of Jehovah God Almighty, who reigns forever and ever, is the best solution for all citizens of the Bahamas. Without true love, we cannot achieve anything in life. For blessings from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Texter. The next texter says, please note that about 70% of our children came from single family homes. Mm-hmm. And many of them, hold on, it moved. And many of them are troubled, very emotional, hurting, and very sensitive. I agree with the caller. That is so true. And she said, many women control their home. Hold on. I got to pause for this one because this next one deep. We go into the place where the deep call it on to the deep. Now, this one deep. The texter say, many women control their homes and their men in our homes. Many of them see the same from their mothers. The man must obey or they get gone. And that's the truth. We have these, I can say this. You have some women who have a spirit of Jezebel upon them, okay? And I can go deep into that, but you have women who are controlling, especially, unfortunately, not all single mothers, but some. And they feel like, if I don't let go of control, I'm going to get hurt. So what I have to do to guard myself from getting hurt is that I have to be in control. And I, before I read the next text message, I want to move on to our next part. It says, sometimes you have to understand that the second chance belongs to you. Ooh. A lot of people feel as though that the second chance is for them. But I want to put it on the flip side. We're flipping it, right? We're flipping it and reversing it, like Missy Elliott say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to, you may be in the position where you need the second chance. Mm-hmm. And the second chance is for you. Now, when you get that opportunity and you get that second chance, you have to understand that you're in healing mode in your relationships, okay? Mm-hmm. And now it's time for you two to heal. And sometimes in that process, you got to take a break. Mm-hmm. If you and your partner are together, y'all know y'all want to be together, and you really want that second chance, you need to be honest with them and say, listen, we need to take a break. Whether it's taking a break from us spending so much time together, but we're still in communication, go and get some help. Go and do some counseling together, because the stronger your relationship is, the better the chance you have to heal. We have I'm going to let Denari and Brandy comment on that, but I want to read our next text. It says, good Mrs. Mark, in my view, love means different things to different people, and I agree. Mm-hmm. Sometimes female concentrate on some men who may have experienced lack of love in their environment where they were brought up. This is why many women never, hold on, why, this is why some women never believe they're wrong, or even evidence is presented. Without evidence presented, I think that's what they're saying. They want to carry it to the grave. And unfortunately, to be honest, that's how it is. And they said, and with the lack of love, many times young ladies either never had a father around to show them what love is. So when they meet someone who grow to love them and they know that they are hurting the relationship, they do not even want to get professional help. And that's true. You have some people that don't think they need the help.
Yeah.
They feel like, I don't need nobody telling me what I need to do in a relationship. And that's a sad thing, because there's a stigma in the Bahamas on having to seek therapy. And listen to me, there's nothing wrong with seeing a therapist. I've been to therapy. It does not mean that you're crazy.
Nothing's wrong. That's just like sometimes, a rare illness when you get a
but
call,
here's the thing.
You get a call for something.
Sometimes you need a non-biased opinion about the situation. Because what happens in a lot of relationships is, if you know somebody, and I come to you, Nari, you deal a lot with mental health, but you know me too good. You understand? So when I come into you for counseling or I want your advice, sometimes you may just take my side because you're my friend.
No, I get that. You're
raw.
You know?
That's my friend, I've given you
yeah, but sometimes that may be the situation.
Might be polite.
Or yeah, because polite. Me and you're friends and I may not want to be open. It's
open
easier.
Enough,
it's easier for you to really be open with a stranger sometimes than your friends.
Definitely.
And this is why therapy is good. It does not mean that you have a mental problem or that you're crazy. It just means that, you know what, I need to be in a safe space. Where I can be, where I can say everything that I need to say.
I just wanted to touch right on the text before the last one because that was an important point. And believe it or not, I was actually on the woman's side in that particular instance. And when I say that, I mean, when they say a lot of women nowadays are very controlling or demanding, I think you find that honestly because, like, the last text would have said that the lack of parenting inside the household. We have a lot of young men right now who don't know what it is to be a real man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Literally in my session on Wednesday, when I told one of the young fellas, you have to treat women a certain way or you got to spend money, he felt like, he said, oh, but then that means I's a conk. Okay. He felt like he's a conk.
Or fighting a frog for
yeah,
snake.
Yeah, he felt like he's a conk. And so a lot of young men are now growing up, to me more or less, trying to compete or in competition with women. Well, what you do for me, what I do for you, and what you do, like, it's a competition.
Ooh, the sassy man apocalypse.
Yeah, right. That's where the sassy man apocalypse is coming in now. Because, and I can't give a woman wrong, because if we live under the same roof, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just for example, we live in an apartment together, and we rent in, and I pay in 50%, and you pay in 50%, we as roommates.
Right.
So how you could tell me I must watch my tune in here? How could a man tell a woman, watch your tune in here when she paying the same amount as you, bro? You won't be in charge. You won't be a man. Pay the bills.
Pay all the bills.
Pay all the bills. Tell her come and host. And then if she get disrespectful, then you raise those to me. You won't go outside and sleep on the floor. You won't be able to rest here tonight. But I think that problem, because of the lack of parenting inside the household, a lot of women now have to be dominant because they feel like that's their only way to survive, unfortunately.
Wow.
So I actually take that one as a man and say, I with the women a bit on that one.
Okay, go ahead, Brandy.
I think it's as simple as we talk about women being in their male energy or their alpha energy, because they don't have the space to be gentle. They don't have the space to be that nurturer, because I do have to compete with you. I do. In some cases, women are making more than men here in this country, or they work harder than a lot of the men in this country. And y'all, you know, you have the hardworking men who believe in the old school, we like to say old school way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And as a woman who believes or practices the old school way, I mean, you want me to say, oh, here's your plate of food, here's your this, here's your that, but you are not creating that environment or that space for me to want to even do that for you.
Right. Yeah. Very true. And I want us to move on into this portion where it says, when walking away can be a miracle. A lot of people need to, sometimes they like to hold on to this very same thing I hear. I remember I was coaching someone and they said, had I been in this for 6 years, this 6 years of work, this is 6 years of investment for me. I just can't walk away from this right now. And you have to understand that sometimes walking away can be the most spiritually healing, mature thing that you could ever do. Because you cannot say, what if I leave and X happened? But what if you leave and everything that you needed and wanted happened? Stop holding on to what ifs, because walking away doesn't mean you're bitter and it doesn't mean that you're a failure.
No.
And that's what a lot of people realize. They say, I don't want to fail at another relationship. I don't want to fail. So I just could stay here, because how much engagements I could have, or how many marriages I could be in, or, you know, I just have to stay here. I cannot, or how much job, I don't want to hop from job to job to job. I don't want to be seen as a failure no more. So you know what? I just could sit this out and ride this out. No, don't do that. It means that you respect yourself too much to stay in foolishness, you know? In the Bahamas, we like to say, better the devil we know. But let me tell y'all something right now.
Come on.
Knowing the devil doesn't make the devil safer. Knowing the devil doesn't make the devil safer. You still with the devil. You are still with the devil. And that's the truth. You have to understand that God wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to reach out to you, because you're holding on to somebody who expired 3 seasons ago. that person been expired, but you thinking it been 6 years, how I can let go? Listen, I've been in relationships for 5 years and I had to walk away. Mm-hmm. I've been in relationships with persons that I absolutely love, but I realized that I was not the one. We weren't the right person for each other. Yeah. And I had to walk away. But I want to tell you, when I decided to walk away, glory to God.
Come on.
Everything happened. And I want you to think, great things happened for that person, mm-hmm. and great things happened for me.
Yes.
Everything fell into place. Don't worry. You have to say, God, is this the destiny path that you have me on? Don't hold on to the past and the years and the good times and the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Mm-hmm. Move on and allow God. Just let God show up in your life. I'm going to read this text and then we're going to let Nari. Go ahead, Nari.
No, I mean, my only point is that to me, from you in March, you're single, that's what they say. So mm-hmm. with relationships, I mean, the same rule apply. If you got to be in 15 different relationships until you get it right, then work it. There's nothing holding you. Obviously, marriage might be different because you might be invested with children and that sorts of stuff. You got to work out some details so it's harder to leave. But once you're out there in your relationship and it's single, mm-hmm. and it ain't working for you, hey, chuck up your deuces. No hard feelings, but I got to go. This ain't working out for us. And it ain't have to be no bad blood. We can link up. We still could be cool, but this mm-hmm. relationship-wise, next. That's okay.
A texter wants to comment on what you said. Right. They say, Heather, to comment to Denari's point, I don't think men want women to compete with the women and receive things. He needs to understand that the new age women will go on dates just for me. Hold on, I need to catch myself. Sorry, listeners, but this one of me laughing. The new age women will go on dates just for meals today, when in the past it was for genuine interest. Men today see that and adjust to the social dynamic. Men shouldn't be a conk. And you know, sometimes that's the case, because I know some gals who have the dude name save as food.
No, okay, you but have that. That's fine, that.
Anna, but I mean, so I can let you go, Brandy, but just to respond to the gentleman. See, for me personally, I don't get caught up in societal norms or beat everybody with the same switch. Mm-hmm. So he's starting off on the wrong path. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's how I feel. Now, I'm well aware that man is become. And if you're a conk, you know you're a conk. Stop being a conk. I'm not disputing or trying to thrive in a fella being a conk. But mm-hmm. if you carry a woman on a first date, right? You pick up the bill for $50 and you realize she ain't into nothing, she only use you for food, then don't carry no more. You go again, like you can sit and be mad. I spent $50 on this gal when this and that, and she conked me, and then I want to try to carry you again.
Were you going for any dinner for $50 and $20.25?
I'm just using the reference, but I'm just saying, if you go out on the first date, you mm-hmm. pick up the bill, you see she ain't making no sense, then don't talk to her no more. You don't have to be a conk. Chalk it up to you and your boys drinking. Then if you mad that you spend $100 on the first date and it didn't work out for you, chalk it up to mommy and my boys had a night drinking. And that's it. Ain't no reason to have no hard feelings or be mad at all or feel like you're being used. Just leave it.
Brandy, go ahead.
I mean, but you also have men doing the very same thing with women in other ways. So they only call or they only text or they only take out for a certain reason. And they like to say exchange, you know, robbery nowadays. Mm-hmm. That's the new thing they like to say. But you know when someone is genuinely interested in you. And if you don't, you don't need to be dating. And that's it's as simple as that.
And we need to come back and talk about Brandy first just things.
Said, that's what Brandy just said. It goes mm-hmm. right back to the same thing. Everybody now so caught up in the society norms now becomes a competition. Mm-hmm. Because right. now, man feel like, oh, woman using me so only being the conk, so I got to use her because I want to taste that little thing. And so now this is competition. Who could get...
Who I got get how what much, first? Yeah, whiskey or first. What?
Will I get this little thing
who
first?
Benefit?
Or I can get
no,
this last one?
Because
everybody just playing societal norms. But if you just go in with a fresh slate, and again, have a pure conversation, you could determine... Is right. this for me or not? If it ain't, stop from the first time, bam, that dead. So you wouldn't even be in conk nation.
And then you have a friend gone. When you see, hey, exactly, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? All is well. And y'all still cool. No beef. You ain't no conk. She ain't give you none. Everybody is fair, love and war.
Nobody is the strongest gigas.
Yeah. And here's the thing. This is why I said that you have to set the pace first off when you're going in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Now to the person who the texter, I would say this to you, right? Let me say this to you. When you go on your first date, and I say this a lot to people, I said this on another show that I was on, talking about relationships they brought me on. When you go on your first date, you are setting the standard. If you take that girl to Bahama inside...
Jazz Club?
No. Jazz Club too cheap. If you want to go, what that expensive steak place in Bahama called? Canas. Mm-hmm. You go on in Canas on the first date, you are setting the standard. Canas got steaks for $1,000. They got steak for $500. They got steak for $200. They got, I think the cheapest steak on there is $80. And that's just for the steak down the sides yet. Because you got to pay for every side. Separate. So that's the first date. You have to set the standard. So what happens is you giving this woman an expectation. So a lot of, I notice he ain't on top because this is supposed to be walking away. Forgiveness and walking away. But here's the thing. When you're in these relationships, a lot of men, they kind of sell themselves a particular thing and they advertise themselves a particular way. So the woman has an expectation to receive a particular thing. And when you fall short of that expectation and the woman is upset, you can't get mad at her. If you see this girl was a supermodel on Instagram, she's pretty, hair done, nails done, everything done, and she's supposed to be fun and bubbly, you expect her to hold that same standard. So if you come to her like you's Mr. Moneybags, and you start too quick. Bill on that. I say, your first day, take her to coffee. Go in Starbucks and sit down. Pay your little, you could spend $20 on that entire date. And just get to know you. You know? Get to know you. Sit down and talk. And build from there. It's about setting the standard. But I want to move back into our topic that we were talking about. And I want to say, sometimes when you decide to leave, because the last thing I said is, knowing the devil doesn't mean that the devil is any safer. And we have that issue in relation. It is not better the devil you know. It is still the devil you're dealing with. So sometimes God is trying to bless you, but the blessing can't reach you because you're holding on to somebody who has expired three seasons ago. Yeah. You know, it's like when you open up a refrigerator and the refrigerator and it smells like something dead. You know the fridge smells bad, but you continue to put your groceries inside there. Mm-hmm. You buy new groceries and you keep putting new groceries in there, but you didn't happen. That could contaminate your groceries. Mm-hmm. I open up the fridge and the fridge smell bad. You know what I can do? Time to clean the fridge. I'm going to search inside the fridge and see what needs to get thrown away. And when I throw that thing in the garbage, I'm going to get my joy, my pine salt or whatever, and I can start cleaning and bleach. And I'm going to clean the fridge from the damage and the junk that was in there that I have to throw away. Now it's time for me to clean up. Because this is another thing. If you want your miracle and you want to walk away and be healed, you have to understand that you got to clean yourself up. A lot of people, they walk away. Okay, I walk away from this, but I'm carrying what I walked away with. No, you got to throw that in the garbage.
Let it go.
Not just let it go, but you got to clean house. And a lot of people don't want to clean house because you know what cleaning house do? It reveals you to you. Because when you're cleaning out that fridge, you saw it wasn't just an old Chinese takeout. You throw that away, then you realize it was some dead strawberries. You throw that away. You realize it was something else in there rotten. You keep finding rotten things. Mm-hmm. And you realize that the rotten things that you're finding was not that guy or was not that girl. Now you're dealing with rotten things that you always carry. Mm-hmm. So you got to clean up yourself. It's about allowing God to restore what belongs to you. Mm-hmm. But he always removes what will destroy you. But you have to understand when you're walking away, you got to take time to clean house.
That's why I call self-accountability. Out of my tree, go right back to my park. Points. Communication. Self-accountability is important inside a relationship and emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you might spend so much time focusing on the other individual, not looking at yourself. And in reality, both of you need works. So relationship, they take time, they take work, they take effort, and they take accountability. Mm-hmm. Self-accountability, that's key.
It's thing, because a lot of people don't want to get vulnerable. And that's the thing. That is the key to any healthy relationship. If you cannot become vulnerable with your partner, or most importantly,
with yourself,
there's something that I prayed, and it's someplace in Proverbs. I can't remember, so don't hold me accountable, callers. It's a scripture that says, Lord, help me not to lie to myself. And I pray, I remember years ago, I was in youth ministry. I was a youth when I first read that scripture. I think I was about 16. And I say, wait, you telling me you could lie to yourself? Mm-hmm. You could lie to yourself so much that you start to believe your own lie. And you become, and that lie takes root and it manifests to something real. And I say, God, help me not to lie to myself. The world is lying to you every day. For God's sake, do not lie to yourself. Shakespeare wrote a line and he said, and I think it was in Macbeth or can't remember what play, but he said, this above all, to thy own self be true. Or Hamlet, I think that was Hamlet. He said, this above all, to thy own self be true. Be true to yourself, because you have to do the work. You have to do the cleanup work to get the junk out. Go ahead, Brandy.
So one of my favorite, I think this is my favorite point for the day. When you are in the mess, God cannot bless you. Mm-hmm. You have to remove yourself from that environment. Not only just that, but be open to the correction. Be open to the change that needs to happen.
Open to correction is important.
Listen to me. Being accountable is not fun. It is not a great experience. Heather and I have honest conversations all the time. And every time she puts me in check, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I know he's going to tell me this. I know he's going to tell me this. But at the end of the day, I know it's coming from a place from a friend who wants to see me do better. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I'm able to receive. But you have persons who will come into your life and just say, hey, maybe you should work on this, or maybe you should work on that. And even as a partner coming to you, sometimes you feel shame. But guess what? If you are with someone and they don't want to see you improve, they don't want to see you get to the best, your best self, it's wrong person. Wrong person. Next. But more so, having that self-awareness to understand that this is not where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I need to pick up and move.
Amen. We have a text that says, Heather, thank you for telling guys to set the standard. In that case, my first date, we get a chicken snack with Blue Mystic. I would you got to go with what your pocket could go with. And guess what? That's a romantic date. Take that girl on the beach and what that park name is, with right by
Gombe?
Yeah.
Gombe
Park. Not Gombe Park. Goodman's Bay. Go to Goodman's Bay Beach. That's a nice beach. Put down on picnic blanket. You get your Mystic. And you get your chicken in the bag. And you all have a conversation, because this is what's happening. Why we get in these toxic relationships, because nobody's talking to each other no more.
No.
You know what has hurt my feelings? And this is a little slightly off topic. When I see people on first dates and they're in their phone the entire time. And I always tell people, listen, you gotta see the red flags from the onset. We talk about red flags at the beginning of this segment. When you see somebody in their phone for the whole time and taking pictures and Snapchatting everything on your first date, don't go on the second date. That person does not want to know you. They're not interested in getting to know you. They're there for the experience. And this is why you end up in these toxic relationships, because do you know you could be with somebody for 2 years and don't know them? You'd be with somebody for 4 years, because what happens is you're being entertained by all the events, all the trips, you know, all the concerts, you know, all the group dinner dates and all the of dollars. That. But you realize that I don't really know this person like that, because every time we go out, it's just an event and it's just an experience. But did you spend any quiet moments with this person beyond pillow talk? And this is leading me to my next thing. When you decide to take a break and you say, you know what, I'm going to have grace and I'm going to walk away, sometimes you got to go no contact. Sometimes you got to go no contact for a year, because some teens are tempted to touch, you know, and I be singing on this. This is the karaoke segment. Tempted to touch, tempted to touch. I need you so much. Listen, you could end back in the cycle. You did so much work. You clean out the fridge. Mm-hmm. You find the junk, and you're doing so well. And let me tell you, with some people, man and woman, they see you on your journey, your health journey. Wow, they posting all kind of wild, wise things.
The glow up.
They see you change. Your talk is different. You know, they could see the glow on you, and they see the change in you. And guess what happened? They're drawn to that. I remember, shout out to my Porcelain and Freeport Grandma, I love you so much. She told me this. She said, Heather, you have to be careful when you're dating men, because some people are attracted to your anointing. Mm. When people see you in your good space of mind and you're healthy and you're growing and you're doing great, that is draw people to you. And what happens is you cannot end back up in bed. I saying it on God. We keep this PG. Y'all, you cannot end back up in bed or in comfortable places with these persons and reconciling with them, because you know what's going to happen? The toxic cycle starts again, because there was no growth, there was no change, there was no turnaround. You talk to them, I just saw you across the room. You saw me across the room, and he was staring across the way, and he come walking over. Hi, I ain't seen you in a long time. Where you been? It's been 2 months, only 2 months, and y'all start kicking up. Yeah, I see you doing all, you're doing great things, and yeah, I watching you, and next thing you know, Mom, you know what? Let's go get some dinner. Oh, glory. Bang, boom. And next thing you know what's going to happen? The familiarity is going to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
The comfort is going to kick in. And you end back up in bed with that person, and they did not give you the opportunity to see the change.
But not only
let them see the change first. If you decide to reconcile,
mm-hmm.
you forgive, you walk away, and there are periods of reconciliation, and ain't nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But for those people who want to reconcile, for God's sake, see the change. You know when you get fired from a job, right? And they say, okay, we can rehire you and bring you back. What they is do? Observe you. They gonna observe you for a time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Observe the person for a time before you decide to even make back up with them. Because one conversation, two conversation, three conversation, one little night of time of romance ain't enough. Because what you're remembering is all the good times in a relationship. Whenever somebody come to you and they say they want make back up at you, you know what I like to tell my friends? Think about all the bad times first. Mm. Before you start remembering all the good times, think about the reason why y'all break up in the first place and say, did that person change? Brandy wanted to say something?
I just wanted to say, the enemy of growth is comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are in that healing process, I think it's like a test. These people show up to test to see if you've really grown up, if you've really made that change, or if you are willing to or even able to stand on what it is, the business, quote unquote, that you've saying you're standing on. You know, let's stand on business, ladies. Stand on business. He does not deserve to get your number again. Block him. Block it.
Denari?
I ain't blocking nobody, but I ain't talking to you again. I ain't going through all that. You know, hard feelings, you know why, all is well. But, I mean, once you, if you're serious and you want to move, you got to be intentional. You know what I mean? You got to be intentional, and it goes back to accountability. I mean, somebody watching you grow and you being a better person. You could have do it with me. It didn't work out, you dissed me. So, I mean, it is what it is. And, I mean, like you say, sometimes, yes, may pass, or yeah, so may go, and you might end up back in the cycle or whatever. But then it's important to, like you say, think about, okay, why we break up in the first place? All right. Mm-hmm. And then if they want to talk again, then you ask the gate. I didn't like this. I still don't like that. what are you doing different? This is going to bother me. So if you haven't changed that, then, you know, we still could be cool. It's good having dinner, but I don't think we should go back down that road. And I think the uncomfortableness in the, especially in reconciliation, should come up first.
Yes.
And you know, time for peaches and roses.
No. That's
talk
right.
about all of the things that would had you uncomfortable from then to now, especially now that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't buy in, yeah, well, they ain't going.
Because that could set your healing. That could set your healing back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have so many people who go through the process of healing, even if a year passed. Let's say a year passed, okay? Mm-hmm. Not a couple months. Let's get them a year. You did the work. You did the work. Understand that you did the work, you know. Mm-hmm. You did everything you needed to do to heal. And now here comes this person, and God help you if they fine.
Yeah, though they need to do that.
And they got their act together in their life. But however, you have to understand emotional. There's some persons who don't have emotional maturity. They have every great thing in a relationship on a resume, and you're just looking at the resume. Stop looking at the resume. Scoot that on the side. God could bless them, and they could get a good job. God could bless them with all those things. But you know what?
God could bless them with another relationship, too.
God ain't going to bless you with emotional intelligence until you do the work.
Yeah, but God could bless them with a new relationship, too. Yeah, I just got to be with you. And so, I mean,
hello.
I happy with that in a lot of my acts. Man, I wish you all the best, man. I
like enjoy that one life, for you. Enjoy life.
Do well.
That's so beautiful.
Do well.
Ain't
nothing wrong with that. Do well.
All I'm thinking of is a conversation I had recently with an ex. And the first time
I
brought up the very thing that happened that was the catalyst of the breakup. And the response was, why are you like this? I said, oh, I see you from a mile away. Goodbye.
And the thing is, he didn't even try. So, well, you know, if he's like me, let me tell him what I do. Listen, if you're listening next, let me tell you what you should have done. You should have been like, you know, B, I understand what you're saying. And back then, you know, I was going through some things in life. But now I've growing, and I'm once again, I apologize for whatever it was that took place. Moving forward, you're not going to have to worry about that. And I mean, you don't have to, we don't have to do it right now, but as we progress, you could look at me and consider, let's re-engage this, because I'm really serious about you. I want to be intentional about us this time. That's what you're supposed to do, X. That's how you do. You don't say why you like this, because they're not telling her. You ain't into nothing,
exactly. Used to say you person, Denari, why you put on that sexy voice to say that?
But that's how you're supposed to seduce her. You got to be a little seducing, man. I can teach him a thing or two, man.
It you wouldn't have worked, but yes, that is you exactly, tried. You know.
To be honest, one of the biggest flags, and both Denari and Brandy said it, if they're not willing to have the tough conversation about why you broke up in the first place, that is a sign that you should not reconcile. Don't go back. And a lot, I know somebody may say, you know what if we have kids together? And I am a good Christian woman. I would always want a two-family home. But it's not good for the kids. If you're in that toxic relationship and y'all are better apart and co-parenting, please do that. Because sometimes you do more damage to the kids staying together than you would be than apart. Sometimes the best thing, and I know y'all may call me and text me, but I've seen it. Sometimes the best thing that could happen to a child is for their parents to get divorced. Because if them people get married for the wrong reasons.
And that's a whole other topic.
And that's a whole other topic for another day. Sometimes it's best for those two. Because guess what? Mommy and daddy may end up in jail and all because of that marriage. That could be the best thing that ever happened in that relationship was the parents saying, let's part ways and let's co-parent. And you'll find that those two parents will end up the bestest of friends.
Yeah.
But when they was married, they'd hate each other. They was at each other's throat. The minute they get a divorce and they start co-parenting, they kiki-ki it and they dead cool together because they worked better that way. Mm-hmm. You understand? And you cannot fix something that has been broken so much. You understand? Sometimes it's best to walk away. So I'm going to give you guys your final words. We're going to start with Denari, then Brandy before we close because... Before we close, go ahead, Denari.
Well, once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. It was good to be in your company. Two strikes, and you're not even free. run. Don't even walk away. Run away. Be intentional about yourself, man. Know what you want in life. Know how you want to live, and know what makes you happy and what doesn't. And if it doesn't, plenty of people out there. You got a 400,000 population in the Bahamas. You got a million around the world. You could find a foreigner and all, but... Don't stay where you're not happy. This life we live in, God wants us to live it, enjoy it, and be happy. So do just that.
Brandy?
Hey, Bahamas, it was a wonderful time here today. Block them. Block them. Save your peace. Block them. All right, that's all I have to say.
You know, and I want to thank Sandy for having us on. She's not in today. Our producer, Brittany, she's been with us today. It's been great, and I'm just going to close by saying, as we close today, hear this. A second chance should lead to healing, not heartbreak. It should bring you peace, not confusion. It should make you feel growth, not punishment. Give grace where grace is deserved and give distance where foolishness is repeated. You are not obligated to stay where you are shrinking. Your loyalty should never cost you your purpose. And sometimes the second chance you need to give is the chance for yourself to start all over again. So this is Heather McDonald sitting in for Stanya on Tell It to Stanya. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for all the texts that text in, for our caller who called in on this hour with us. We are going to walk in wisdom. We're going to walk in peace. And we're going to walk in power today. So I'll see you guys next time. And when Stanya have us in, love you guys and enjoy the rest of your weekend.